Very good. While our young people head out to their groups, let me encourage you to pick up a Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. It's on page 972, and Maya's going to come and read that passage for us. Thanks, Maya.
Matthew chapter 7, starting to read at verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
I love honey, and I'm not alone. In the UK, apparently, we eat between 45 and 50,000 tons of honey every year. And who can blame us? It's delicious. So my eye was caught the other day when I saw a story on the news that said that most of the honey we eat isn't actually honey. This is my honey jar. It says honey on the outside, but it turns out that even if it says pure honey on the label, chances are it's not pure honey on the inside. In fact, 90% of the honey that is sold in shops is a mixture of honey and things like corn syrup and sugar syrup and other cheaper things than honey. Fake honey is big business. It's called, and I'm not making this up, honey laundering. And it's not just honey. It turns out 21% of the fish we buy isn't the fish that the label says it is. I know. I'm getting some strange looks. You're wondering what you've eaten now. I don't know. Pepper is very often not pepper. Orange juice is often not orange juice. And the stuff we call olive oil almost certainly didn't come from olives. It's a rabbit hole you don't want to chase down through the internet. But however much truth there is to it, it is clear that we've been fooled. Also, this article said, some things that claim to be one thing on the outside are not really what is there on the inside. Millions of jars of honey are sold every year, but they're not honey at all. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23, Jesus says, it's just the same with the church. So let's pray that God would help us this morning to take a look at this passage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning. And we pray that you would be at work among us. You inspired the Bible to be written. And we pray that you would inspire us to understand it now. As it says in Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Watch out, Jesus says, for false prophets. We've come to the end of Jesus's sermon. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount here at Christchurch since February. And if you were with us back then, I wonder if you remember how it began. Jesus' disciples were religious. They'd gone to the temple all their lives. They'd been taught the Old Testament law for as long as they could remember. But now Jesus had come and he'd said to them, what you've been taught is wrong. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. That was chapter 5. You've been taught this by your religious leaders, Jesus said. You've been taught by them that you can earn your way into heaven, that you can be good enough for God by keeping all the rules. But I tell you, you can't. The only way into God's kingdom is to cry out to God for rescue. And he said, when you do that, you'll discover God does forgive. And he will save you. And when you discover that, you'll want to live his way just for his pleasure. That's not what your religious leaders are doing. They do their good works to try and score points with God. They do their righteous acts, Jesus said, to be seen and admired and applauded by other people. They're hypocrites. Don't be like them. Live your life God's way, knowing that your reward will be in heaven. Live your life God's way, knowing that this life will soon be gone, but real life is yet to come. That's what he said in chapter 6. Admit your own sin. Cry out to God for his gift of grace. He loves to be asked, and he loves to give. That was the first half of chapter 7. And now in the second half, he comes to his conclusion and he says to us, you have a choice. You can choose to ignore Jesus and carry on going your own way down easy streets, through the wide gate, down the broad path that leads to destruction. Or you can choose to listen to Jesus and follow Jesus through the small gate and the narrow path that leads to eternal life. It's what we were thinking about 2 weeks ago, if you were here. We have a choice. But now he says, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for those religious leaders who claim to be teaching you the truth about God, who claim to be leading you down the path to life, but who are really leading you down the path to destruction. They come to you in sheep's clothing, he says, verse 16, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. In other words, they look normal. They look innocent. They look safe. They look like this. I almost wore the same shirt, just to make the same point. In other words, they look like any other church minister. So how can you tell? Not everything that claims to be honey is honey. And Jesus says not every church leader is a good church leader. So how can you tell who will lead you in the right direction? Well, Jesus says in verses 15 to 20, don't let yourself be fooled. That's the first thing he says. Don't let yourself be fooled. And then he gives us a simple test. Look at verse 16. He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Imagine you went down to Winnington Garden Centre. Sorry, you can't really see that picture. It's too sunny outside. There's a garden centre down the road. Imagine if you went there and you went to the fruit tree section and somebody had played a prank and taken all the labels. Or even worse, they'd switched all the labels around so you couldn't see what was what. Most of us wouldn't have a clue, right? They all just look like sort of sticks with a few leaves. If the label said apple tree on it, well, then I would pick it up and take it home and plant it thinking I've got an apple tree in my garden. I'd have been fooled. But not for long, right? Because if I took that tree home and I planted it and I took care of it, eventually fruit would appear on that tree. And if it's pears or cherries or plums, then I would know what kind of tree it is. I'd know it wasn't what it claimed to be. And so it is with false teachers, Jesus says. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. To know if a tree is good or bad, to know if a preacher is good or bad, to know if a prophet is true or false, look at its fruit. To know if it's an apple tree, look at its fruit. What does that mean for preachers and teachers? I think it means at least two things. The first is, look at their lives. On the church weekend away, we were looking at a book that comes later in the New Testament called Titus. It's called Titus because it was written by a guy called Paul to a man called Titus. And Paul had left Titus on the island of Crete to appoint church leaders there. And in chapter one of his the book, his letter, Paul tells Titus what he should look for in a leader. He says this. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer, that's another word for a church leader, is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. If you want to know if a man is right for the job of being a church leader, Paul says, look at his life. Look at the fruit of his life. Look at his marriage. Look at his family. Listen to how he speaks to his wife. Look at how he interacts with his children. Look at how he reacts under stress. Look at his attitude when he plays sport. See how he speaks to other people and whether he listens or not. See where his heart is. Notice what he loves. Galatians chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, tells us that the fruit of God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is that what you see in his life? Is that his character? Does that shape his speech and his actions? If you want to know if a church leader is a good and faithful and trustworthy church leader, first of all, look at their lives, and secondly, look at the lives of those they lead. This September, I will have been at Christchurch, I can't believe it, for 10 years. Which means you have heard me preach more or less every week for 500 Sundays. So if you want to know if I am a faithful teacher and preacher and church leader, then spend time with the church family here at Christchurch. You guys are the fruit of my ministry. And when you see how we serve one another, and when you see how we care for one another, and when you listen in to how we speak and interact and joke and share, listen. Do we do it with love? When you come to Christchurch, is there joy? Are we more or less, despite our differences, at peace with one another? Are we patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled? Friends, if you leave home and go to uni and you're looking for a new church, or if you have to move because of work, or maybe to look after elderly parents, or for whatever reason, and you need to find a new church, be careful. Take your time. And look closely. Don't just choose the church with the best music. Don't just go to the one that's most convenient and that you can get to quickest and leave bed latest to still be in time for. Look closely. And sometimes it will be immediately obvious that a church doesn't really believe the Bible. Sometimes it will be obvious that a preacher is not concerned in faithfully passing on the truth of God's word with its challenges as well as its comforts. Sometimes it'll be obvious they're just saying what people want to hear. But sometimes it's not obvious. Sometimes it takes time. Fruit takes time to appear. Right? It looks like an apple tree for a jolly long time before the pears appear. But you will see. And friends, if you see bad fruit, or if you start to think that you're seeing bad fruit, tell someone. Share your concerns with someone else. And if they think you might be right, well then together go and talk to the preacher or the church or another church leader. And incidentally, how they react when you come to them with your concerns will tell you an awful lot about whether or not they are leaders worth following. And friend, you might be wrong. You might have misunderstood what they said or misinterpreted what you saw. But you might be right. It might not be a one-off. And if you haven't misunderstood, and if they are bad, Jesus says, take drastic action. Look at verse 19. He says, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You know what to do with a bad tree. If a prophet is a false prophet, if a church leader is a bad church leader, they're not innocent. They are ferocious wolves leading you down a path to destruction. Watch out for false prophets, Jesus says. By their fruit you will know them. Don't let yourself be fooled. But then secondly, he goes on to say, don't fool yourself. Back in January, we started a new group here at Christchurch called First Thoughts Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, from 12:30 till 1:30, everyone is invited to come and bring lunch if they want to eat lunch. And we sit and we look at the passage that we're going to look at on Sunday. And we just share thoughts. It's our first thoughts. They're not particularly insightful. They're not particularly wise, but they're really good to hear. They help me. They help us. It's great. Come along. Well, this Tuesday, we were reading through this passage, and Janet at the end said, this is a disconcerting passage, isn't it? And it is. Look at verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Not every Christian preacher is a faithful Christian preacher. There are false prophets. And, Jesus says, there are false believers. In fact, he says there are many who claim to be Christian, who claim to live with Jesus as Lord, who are fooling themselves and others. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And notice, to prove that they really are believers, these false Christians say, but look at the fruit, right? They say, verse 22, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And Jesus doesn't say, no, you didn't. Maybe they did. But instead, he says to them, that's not the fruit I'm looking for. Look at verse 21 again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. How do you tell if someone who claims to be a believer really is one or not? How do we tell those of us here this morning who claim to be Christians whether we really are believers or not? The answer is obedience. Look at the fruit. Now, don't misunderstand. Obeying God's law and living God's way is not how we are saved. Remember, that's what the religious leaders were teaching back then, and that's what Jesus has already corrected in this sermon. Obedience is not how we are saved, but obedience is how we live once we are saved. Obedience is not how we are saved. Obedience is how we live once we are saved. Is how we increasingly live once we are saved. I've been put under the spotlight this morning, right? Christian leaders have been put under the spotlight by Jesus, and that's right, we should be. But now Jesus turns the spotlight onto you. If you call yourself a Christian this morning. And Jesus says to you, friend, you need to examine yourself honestly. Are you really following Jesus as Lord? Or is that just what you say? Are you fooling yourself? Yes, but I lead Sunday school, you might say. Yes, but I lead a home group. I play in the band. I help make tea and coffee. I run Connect. I help out with food bank. I'm on the welcome team. I'm on the sound desk. I put out chairs. I'm a trustee. I'm on CCC. I go to youth group. I go to your church. I go to school CU. I give every month. And those things are all wonderful things to do. And I want to say thank you to all of you who do those things. But friend, none of those things make you a Christian. Any more than prophesying or driving out demons or performing miracles. Don't fool yourself. A Christian is someone who has cried out to God for him to save them. A Christian is someone who knows that they are a wretched sinner who cannot save themselves and is clinging on to Jesus to save them. A Christian is someone who has laid down their life and stopped chasing their own dreams and trusting their own wisdom and doing what they want. A Christian is someone who has taken the crown off their head and put it on Jesus, and who says, Lord, you tell me where to live and how to live, and I will obey. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And friends, we don't do that perfectly. Of course we don't. We'll never do that perfectly this side of heaven, but we're trying. And when we fail, we're deeply sorry. We're fighting sin and changing how we live and what we believe. And there is fruit in our lives. We are growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Don't fool yourself, Jesus says. Not every jar that says honey on it has got honey in it. Not every good jar. I mean, I wish it weren't so, but it's. We need to have our eyes open, friends. Not every church leader is a good church leader. And not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a true believer. Do you know, for the last couple of years, around this time of year, I've taken a break for a few days with a friend of mine who's also a minister. And we've gone walking together in the mountains, because it's what we like doing. And last year, day one, we got lost. Really, really lost. We thought we knew where we were on the map. It turned out we were wrong. We thought we had the right map. It turned out we were wrong. We thought, if worse comes to worse, we could always use our compass, but both of us presumed the other one had one, and actually neither of us had one. We got lost. We headed down a very wrong path, and it nearly ended in disaster. This year, we made sure we had exactly the right map. We both brought compasses. And we stopped often to check where we were and where we were going. But you know what? That took humility. And every time we stopped to check the map, there was a part of me that just thought we were fine and should carry on. Friends, Jesus' words in Matthew 7:15-23 should cause us to stop and to check. And not just presume we're on the right path. These words should cause us to stop and take the danger seriously. His words should cause us to question, to examine our leaders, and to examine our lives. Are they who they claim to be? Are we really who we claim to be? Don't let yourself be fooled, Jesus says. And don't fool yourself. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. They are not comfortable words. They are not easy words to read. So we thank you for loving us enough, for speaking these words to us and causing us to stop and pause and think. Please help each one of us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.